It is Thursday, October 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. senators react in a partisan way to the FBI report on President Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The United States announces charges against seven Russian intelligence officers, and a new film starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper opens in theaters around the U.S. this weekend. It's all ahead. Amid strenuous objections by Democrats, Senate Republicans on Thursday pledged to move forward with votes to confirm U.S. President Donald Trump's Supreme Court pick, Brett Kavanaugh, hours after the FBI released a report on its investigation of sexual assault allegations against the nominee. Senators were duty-bound not to divulge details of the FBI report, a single copy of which was made available for them to read behind closed doors in a secure room at the Capitol. But numerous Republicans emerged to tell reporters they saw nothing implicating Kavanaugh in sexual misconduct. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky said the FBI was unable to locate any third parties who could attest to any of these allegations. No backup from any witnesses, including those specifically named as eyewitnesses by the people who brought the allegations in the first place.
This process has been ruled by fear and anger and underhanded gamesmanship for too long. Time for us to stand up to this kind of thing. We owe it to the American people not to be intimidated by these tactics. We owe it to the American people to underscore that you're innocent until proven guilty. It's the Senate that's on trial here, Mr. President. What kind of image will we convey to the public?
The Judiciary Committee's top Democrat, Dianne Feinstein of California, dismissed the report.
But what I can say is that the most notable part of this report is what's not in it. As we noted by the White House, the FBI did not interview Brett Kavanaugh, nor did the FBI interview Dr. Blasey Ford. What we've heard from numerous people over the last few days seeking to provide information to the FBI. We have seen even more press reports of witnesses who wanted to speak with the FBI but were not interviewed.
Her colleague, Senate Democratic Leader Charles Schumer, also expressed his opinion about the report.
We had many fears that this was a very limited process that would constrain the FBI from getting all the facts. Having received a thorough briefing on the documents, those fears have been realized.
White House spokesman Raj Shah said that after the most comprehensive review of a Supreme Court nominee in history, the White House is fully confident Kavanaugh will be confirmed. The Senate is expected to hold procedural votes on the nomination Friday, with a possible final vote on whether to confirm Kavanaugh Saturday. Last week, the Judiciary Committee advanced the nomination to the full Senate on the condition that the FBI performed a supplemental background check on the nominee. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence accuses China of meddling in America's democracy. India's Supreme Court allows the deportation of seven Rohingyas to Myanmar. Some services are restored in Indonesia's tsunami-struck Sulawesi Island. And India and Russia are expected to seal a deal for air defense systems during the visit by Russian President Vladimir Putin. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
The Nobel Prize in Chemistry was announced on Wednesday, October 3rd. Professor Göran K. Hansen, Secretary General of the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences, made the announcement.
The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences has today decided to award the 2018 Nobel Prize in Chemistry with one half to Francis H. Arnold for the directed evolution of enzymes. and the other half jointly to George P. Smith and Gregory P. Winter for the phage display of peptides and antibodies.
According to the Nobel Organization, this year's laureates were awarded their prize for their work in harnessing the power of evolution to develop and optimize new proteins that could be used in a variety of applications, from biofuels to medicines that fight diseases such as cancer. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, the latest version of the film A Star is Born will be premiering this weekend. We'll have a look at it. The U.S. Justice Department Thursday announced criminal charges against seven Russian intelligence officers in connection with attempting to penetrate the computer networks of anti-doping officials and organizations investigating Russia's use of chemical weapons. Dutch officials announced earlier Thursday that they expelled four Russian intelligence officers after catching them with spy equipment next to the chemical weapons watchdog, Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. Assistant Attorney General John Demers, who announced the charges, said the Russians belong to GRU, Russia's military intelligence organization.
Our indictment today charges some of the same Russian operatives caught in The Hague, along with their colleagues in Moscow, as part of a conspiracy to hack a variety of individuals and organizations in the United States, Canada, and Europe to obtain information or access that was then exploited for the benefit of the Russian government. More specifically, this indictment alleges a conspiracy to use computer hacking to obtain non-public personal health information about athletes and others in the files of anti-doping agencies and sporting federations in multiple countries, and to release that stolen information selectively and sometimes misleadingly.
VOA Justice correspondent Masood Farivar spoke with me about the indictments.
So the indictment was handed down by a jury in Western Pennsylvania, where Westinghouse is located, one of the companies that was targeted by the Russian hackers. The indictment alleges that seven Russian military intelligence officers engaged in a multi-year conspiracy to hack several organizations, including anti-doping agencies, including the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, sporting federations, including FIFA, and an international chemicals watchdog.
It seems very wide-ranging, involving, as you said, both doping and chemical weapons.
That's right. Yeah, it basically involves two categories of organizations, as you said, anti-doping agencies and officials, and chemical weapons watchdog officials. And there are a couple of things noteworthy about the indictment. The one is that three of the seven Russian military intelligence officials indicted were also connected to the indictment that was handed down back in July by the Special Counsel's Office in connection with the hacking of Democratic computers back in 2016. Now, the Assistant Attorney General Demers said today that this indictment did not arise out of the special counsel's investigation. Another noteworthy point about this investigation is that the Russians sent so-called close access or on-site teams to actual physical locations around the world, in Rio, for example, and The Hague, when an attempt to hack a computer system remotely was unsuccessful. So that's interesting. At least four of the seven agents that have been indicted were members of these so-called close access teams.
Well, altogether, this Russian operation and this investigation is very international in scope. You have the Netherlands, the U.K., and Australia, as well as the U.S., that have raised accusations in this.
And Canada and Switzerland, actually. Switzerland, there's a chemical weapons lab in Switzerland that was testing, analyzing the chemical agent used in the poisoning of Sergei Skripal, who is another former GRU military intelligence officer. He was poisoned back in March. Now, the British and the Dutch prime ministers issued a statement this morning condemning what they called unacceptable Russian cyber activity. This is nothing new. You know, Western intelligence officials have long known that Russia has and continues to engage in malicious cyber activity. But it's another major development that puts a spotlight on Russia's cyber activity.
Oh, thanks very much, Masoud.
Thank you.
Okay. That's VOA Justice Correspondent Masoud Farivar. Well, Afghanistan's government has formally rejected and outlawed a plan advocated by an American businessman to privatize the 17-year-old war in the country. Eric Prince promoted his proposal on Kabul television as recently as last week for the government to allow foreign contractors to support Afghan forces in the fight against the Taliban. He claimed it could end the war in 6 months. Well, I'm joined by VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. So, you know, Afghanistan's government pretty much has quashed this.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, we were speaking with General Joseph Votel. He is the commander of U.S. Central Command, which oversees the operations in Afghanistan. And he said that this is not possible, that it has been contradicted by the Afghan government, the Secretary of Defense, and that the most significant downside of this would be that the United States would be turning over its national interest over to contractors. And that even if this was something that the United States was interested in, there's a bilateral security agreement that the United States has with the Afghan government that won't allow this to happen.
Yeah, I mean, but the idea of privatizing a military action or military, you know, a war is just, it's rather incredible.
It is, because you've got so many things outside of the war itself. The rebuilding, the supporting of the Afghanistan government, all of that has to come from the State Department. This isn't strictly a military thing, so to think that this could be contracted out just doesn't make sense for the United States or the Afghan government.
Well, now, apparently General Votel had quite a wide-ranging, I think, discussion with those reporters along with you there at the Pentagon, because apparently he also said that Afghan military and police forces had higher numbers of battlefield casualties during the summer of fighting the Taliban insurgency.
He did. He admitted that the casualties are increasing. And he also said that the South Asia strategy is sound and is working. And I pushed back on that. And I said, how can you say that when there are increased casualties, when you do see reporting like VOA has done in this small village, Khoki Jabar, in Kabul, less than an hour's drive from the city of Kabul, showing how the Taliban now shop there. They cut cell phone service whenever they need to. They kill people who have government jobs. And he said that the focus of the strategy is now bringing the Taliban to the negotiating table. And he pushed back on the casualty numbers, saying that, yes, they have increased, but as they've increased, the Afghan security forces have still been able to maintain those additional casualties and are trying to focus on improving their capabilities, which takes time, he says. So in the coming months and years, you will not see that increase. It's a very difficult dance they're having to play, because the situation on the ground does not look very good. And I think the elections that we will see in the next coming weeks will give us some sort of indication on how successful the strategy really is.
Yeah, because apparently at the end of 2014, U.S. forces stopped taking a direct role in ground combat against the Taliban and shifted to what they call an advise and assist role.
That's right, and that's why these casualties are increasing for the Afghan forces, because the United States has taken a back seat on that, although there are still American casualties, as we saw just today. Another U.S. service member was killed in Afghanistan. We do not have the details on that yet, but we do know that he was killed in combat, either fighting Islamic State or fighting the Taliban or al-Qaeda.
Now, I believe that there was also some discussion there at the Pentagon today about Russian missiles in Iran.
That's right. So General Votel also covers the Iraq and Syria situations, and Iran is also in his purview. And he called the Russian sending the S-300 into Syria a needless escalation, and he called it a knee-jerk response to the downing of a Russian aircraft a couple of weeks ago. He pointed out that this has nothing to do with the fight against Islamic State, and that this this missile defense system would be a cover for Iran and the Syrians' nefarious activities. That was the word he used. So they could do activities that would not support peace, but instead introduce greater instability.
Mm, yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much, Carla. That's VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is International Edition. The latest version of a film classic opens this weekend. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with details about the new film and its music.
We've got a song from what will most likely be the number one film at the box office this weekend when it opens up on Friday. The soundtrack for the film is also coming out. I'm talking about the movie A Star Is Born. This is not the third version of the film. This is the fourth version, actually, because the original film came out in 1937, starring Janet Gaynor and Frederick March. And then it was redone three times after that. 1954, Judy Garland and James Mason. 1976, Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. And now we've got the team of Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Now he's not only starring in the new film A Star Is Born, he's also directing the film as well, which was very interesting for him. He said to be director and actor. He said it was, quite frankly, easy. It was an easier transition. You'd think it'd be harder,
yeah.
But he's in the midst of roles, in the midst of doing things. Like, there's a love scene with him and Lady Gaga's character, Allie, and he said it was easier. It was easier than standing behind a camera yelling, cut, action, more, less, whatever. He was doing it himself. Now, Clint Eastwood was originally set to direct the new version, and he had been working on it for a couple of years. Beyoncé was supposed to be Allie. But there were some problems along the way, negotiations, other issues. Clint bailed out of the project, and Bradley Cooper took over in 2015. And Lady Gaga stepped in as well as Allie. So the song is out. I want to give everybody a chance to hear this song because it's already debuted at number 14 on the All Genres chart and number 4 on the Pop Digital Sales chart. And this is only in half of a week. So you can look forward to bigger numbers after a full week come next week. Lady Gaga and Mark Ronson wrote the song. It's sung by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, believe it or not. And it's called Shallow.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for?
I've seen some previews of this film, and it looks like it'll be really good.
Yeah, well, everybody that's reviewed it so far, USA Today, Newsweek, Time, The LA Times, Hollywood Reporter, everybody said the chemistry between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper is just undeniable. The performances are electrifying. I'm using words that I've taken from some of these reviews. The film is going to be a hit. There's no two ways about it. You've got the appeal of Bradley Cooper, as I mentioned, an established actor. And you've got Lady Gaga, who's got her little monsters. That's what she calls her legion of fans. And she brings today's pop culture into the dynamic. So this is going to be great. Now, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper performed that song on stage this past summer at one of the biggest music festivals in all of Europe, the Glastonbury Music Festival. Bradley said for years and years he's gone as a fan to watch the festival. This time he got to perform music on stage, and he thanks Kris Kristofferson for sharing 4 minutes of what was his set during the Glastonbury Festival to allow him and Lady Gaga to come out and do this. People have asked, you know, Bradley Cooper, he sings. Wow. Who knew that?
I didn't know that.
He said he's been taking singing lessons 5 days a week for the last few months to get ready for this role. He always sang in the shower, in the car, driving to work, but never on film like this before. So he took some professional training, and we already know about Lady Gaga's past success and all of the things she's done. You forget about the fact that she performed a tribute to Sound of Music on the Oscars a few years
back.
And everybody was just mesmerized at how great a singer she actually is. And she is. And she does a great job in her role as Allie in this movie. I'm so excited to see this. The soundtrack comes out as well this weekend. There are 4 duets with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. He's got 5 solo songs himself on the soundtrack.
Wow.
And she's got 8 solo songs. So this is going to be a great soundtrack and a great film. I'm so excited.
And I should just say, I read in the Washington Post just yesterday that apparently in the film, Lady Gaga sings a little bit, I don't know the whole song, but it's Somewhere Over the Rainbow, kind of a tribute to Judy Garland, who starred in an earlier version of that.
And she thanked Bradley Cooper for all of his inspiration, his guidance in the film. He actually wrote the screenplay for this film, taking adaptations from the previous 3 versions. Lady Gaga said he was a great director to work with, and it was his idea to do some of the things, the set design, he was involved with wearing less makeup or no makeup at all, so it gave a real natural raw effect. Bradley Cooper's character is a guy who's near the end of his musical career, and Allie, Lady Gaga's character, is at the start of her music career. So this is kind of a love story, love of music, love of one another, and I think everybody's going to fall in love. There's going to be laughter, and there's going to be tears. It's going to be a great movie. Finally, a real good feel-good film, A Star is Born, and the new song, Shallow, the first song from the soundtrack.
Thanks very much, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossing. In the shadow, in the shadow, shadow, in the shadow, shadow, we're far from the shadow now. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper singing in the new film A Star is Born. That is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
VOA podcasts are a convenient way to get your information on the run.
VOAnews.com.
Visit VOAnews.com and click on podcasts to learn how you can subscribe.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.